Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Love all the red and the green on the stage. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, let's get started. If you have ever read the Gospel of Matthew, it may have almost thrown you off as soon as you opened up the Gospel of Matthew, because it's like a list of names. So-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. And it's like, okay, let's get to the good stuff. Well, if you've read Mark or John, you may have noticed he doesn't do that. They just go right into the life and ministry of Jesus. And it appears that Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which is where we're going to open up today in Luke chapter 3, when you open up the Gospel of Luke, it appears that he's just getting right into the story, right? He gives us a lot of detail about how Zechariah and Elizabeth got pregnant in her old age and had John the Baptist. And then he gets into all that detail where the angel Gabriel visited Mary. And then Luke chapter 2, of course, one of the most famous passages to be read this time of the year, gets right into the birth story of Jesus. Angels singing, shepherds rejoicing, it's all good. And then chapter 3 then picks up in Jesus' later years where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Now everything's going good. And then it's like right out of nowhere in chapter 3 of Luke, you have this big paragraph and it's a genealogy of Jesus. And that's kind of what you see up here on the big screen in these little letters. And it traces Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam. And you could read that and think, okay, bunch of funky names, like what do? Let's get on with it and just skip over it. But today and in this series, we're going to dig in and dig up some of the treasures that are in this lineage, in the genealogy of Jesus, that point us to a deeper understanding of Jesus, of the Christmas story, and hopefully helps us all to not just get lost in all the must-dos and gotta go and get in a hurry and make this just right and gotta get the presents just right. And it keeps our hearts tuned in to the worship of who Jesus is and how awesome it is that God sent his son. So to kind of kick us a little forward this morning, let's see if anyone, probably children, does anyone know why the number 15 would be very significant right now as of today? Can any of the kids tell me? I don't see anybody blurting out. 15 what? What does it mean? 15 days till Christmas. Thank you. This is such a big deal in our family. Maybe it's one of the traditions in your family. I'm not so sure. But every morning in the month of December when we wake up, one of the three boys runs in, flips the numbers around, and it's a countdown until the days of Christmas. And then we got a little candle and a Mary on a donkey, and she's making her way to the manger scene. It's pretty hyped up. So I want you to think about this idea of a countdown. Countdown until the days of Christmas. Did you ever think that God had a countdown? That God the Father had a countdown until the first Christmas. Oh, let me paint this picture for you. If we went all the way back to the book of Genesis, when there was no Christmases, there weren't even any children to get ready for Christmas morning. It was just God and Adam and Eve. And it's a very familiar passage. If you grow up in church here, you're going to see this passage all the time. It's very important to your faith. Adam and Eve have just sinned, they disobeyed, and now God is speaking, and in this text, specifically to the serpent that deceived Eve. And God foreshadows the first Christmas when he looks at the serpent and says in Genesis 3:15, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Now I want you to just to think about that phrase, her seed. For a moment, I want you to think of that as the Christmas seed, the first Christmas that's going to come one day. And God says that the woman is going to have an offspring, and this offspring is going to be a he. And he tells the serpent that he is going to bruise or crush your head, which kills a snake every time. and you, the serpent, will bruise, or that is, strike his heel. And it's fascinating when God spoke these words, Adam and Eve didn't even have children. In fact, at this time, the only time Eve is being referred to in the scripture, she's either referred to as woman or Adam's wife. She doesn't even have a name yet. So don't you think how powerful this statement is? Because right after God says this statement, Adam looks at his wife and names her Eve. And the name Eve means, and it says in the Bible, the mother of all living. And that's powerful because, first of all, biblical names have meaning. Secondly, it tells us that God, or that Adam, heard what God said. And he said, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to do it. I don't even know if you're going to do it through Eve, my wife. But what I know is God said it. And when God says it, he means it, and it's going to be done. So he looks at his wife and he says, you're going to be a mother. You're going to mother that child, or maybe you're going to be the great-great-great-grandmother of that child, but it's going to happen. Now, this is when the countdown started. For us, 15 days, right? Every year, December 1st, 25, 24 days, no big deal. But when you look at the timeline of when God said these words to Adam and Eve, and when Jesus, the first Christmas, actually happened, and he was born in a manger in Bethlehem, it's about 4,000 years. In other words, if God had a countdown little number flipper, it would be about 1,460,970 days until the first Christmas. So I want if you think Christmas is far away, you know, it's for the kids. Imagine waking up in the morning and you flip that number over and it's only 1,460,969 more days. You can be patient. It's coming. And so I want to give you three statements today about Christmas, or the Christmas story, the Christmas seed, the birth of Jesus, that I hope just deepens your appreciation and your worship of who God is. The first one is this, based upon what God said from the beginning. The Christmas seed was promised and his victory was prophesied. Adam named his wife based upon that statement. When God said there's going to be a seed, you can bank your life on it. And when God said this seed is going to be victorious, he's going to defeat, he's going to crush the serpent, you can be sure of it. So with this in mind, what I want you to see now is when Luke introduces the genealogy of Jesus, he traces Jesus all the way back to Adam, the very one who first heard those words said, to tell us he is the seed. Look no further. So looking in Luke chapter 3, if you can and you're able, please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word, starting in verse 23. We're going to cover in 2 minutes what took 4,000 years for God to wait on. Verse 23 says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Simei, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joannes, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of the son of Josi, the son of Eliezer, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Maliah, the son of Manan, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. That is, Adam was the God's first creation. It didn't take us 4,000 years, but about 2 minutes. That is what your heavenly Father patiently waited to happen to make sure you and I would celebrate Christmas and be sure of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you protected the seed and that you're a God who's faithful to keep your word. And on Christmas morning, we get to open up presents with friends and family and children and grandchildren in celebration of your gift. God, deepen our hearts and our understandings for who you are and what you've done through your son, Jesus. And may the lost come to know him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I know that that was a lot. And it's probably pretty rare that when reading through the Gospel of Luke that you pause to sit there and just go through all that. But the point that Luke is making of many points is simply this. Promise made, promise kept. Look no further. Don't question it. It's him. And so what we're going to do this morning is pretty fun. We're going to have some children involved. We're going to go back and just dig into those first 10 names, beginning with Adam and leading up to Noah. And so I'm going to highlight them right here. Adam, Seth, Enosh, and Canaan. These names, all 10 names actually, are recorded in Genesis chapter 5. And so this is pretty fun. I have a group of kids that's going to come up. I interviewed them upstairs earlier. So group number one, if you would, come on up here and line up, starting with David Gray. We're going to talk about what do these names mean and how do these names point us to the Christmas story. Let me get a microphone out. Doug, if you would, turn on the white mic. And then we're going to make sense of this for the next little bit. So let's start out with Adam. If we open up Adam's name, David Gray, can you tell us what Adam's name means?
Man.
Say it one more time.
Man.
Man. Thank you, sir. You can walk right back there. And now let's go to Seth. Jaden, can you tell us what is the meaning of Seth's name?
Appointed.
Appointed. Thank you, sir. And now let's go to the next guy, Enosh. Colson and Caden, can you tell us what Enosh's name means?
Mortal.
Oh, say it one more time. That's good.
Mortal.
Mortal. This is the idea of death. Mortal, mortalities. And then let's do one more. Xander, can you tell us what does Canaan's name mean?
Sorrow.
Sorrow. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Give these guys a round of applause. You can take your seat. So now, what's interesting is if we take, I'm going to turn this thing off. Y'all don't want me to overwhelm you. If we take those first four names and put them in order, you kind of have this sentence forming. Man is appointed mortal, death, deathly, sorrow. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Sounds pretty familiar to what we know as the sin of Adam, the sin that we're all born into because we're all children of Adam, which tells us because of our sin when we were born, we're going to die, and that's really sad, sorrowful news. Well, this begins to paint what appears to be a problem with the genealogy that's written in Luke chapter 3. Let me show you why, and then let's see how God's word solves that problem. If we go back to when Adam and Eve had Seth in Genesis 4, the Bible tells us this, that Adam, and that's the Hebrew word for man, when Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. Seth means appointed. And now the scripture quotes what Adam said, "For God has appointed another what? Seed. Another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." There's mortality. There's death. There's the pain of death. "And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh," mortal, death. "And then men began to call on the name of the Lord." That would be pretty interesting to see what that time was like. So then the text continues in Genesis 5 to help us understand what happened. And now this is the book of the genealogy of Adam, the man. "In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created." Now we know this from Genesis 1. God made male and female in his image and after his likeness. But the next verse tells us the problem, and this problem connects with the genealogy that's written in Luke chapter 3. Verse 3 then says of Genesis 5, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth." Now you see the problem? Let me make sure we see the problem. If we go back to the lineage in Luke chapter 3, Luke begins by telling us, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli," and then we just did it all the way back to Seth, all the way back to Adam. Now if someone just opened up their Bible, or if someone was visiting today and they're very unfamiliar with the Christmas story, they would have every right to say, "Okay, so Jesus is a descendant of Adam, which is a descendant of Seth, so he must be born in the image and likeness of Adam, fallen and sinful, just like you and me." Now, it would assume that that's what it looks like happens until we step back. I want to show you this to just deepen our understanding of his birth story. See, whenever Luke tells us that Jesus, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, what he's doing is he's reminding us that the Jews always trace the lineage through the men. The seed flows through the men. But what Luke did was he traced the seed from Adam to Noah to Abraham to David. And then at David, he took Mary's lineage. In other words, her seed. "The seed of the woman will bruise, will crush your head." And so when we get right here, we see Joseph, the son of Heli. Why is that interesting? Because if you go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew traces the lineage to Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Matthew says that Joseph, Mary's husband, is the son of a man named Jacob. But here Luke says Heli. That's because what Luke is doing is he's telling us Heli is Mary's dad. And so Joseph is the son-in-law of Heli. He has marriage rights and so to Mary, and so he's in the lineage of Jesus, but he's not the biological birth dad of Jesus, which is why the only Greek word in this big paragraph that's different from all the rest is that one underlined right there that says the son of Joseph, or being as was supposed. It's a way of saying he was his adopted son, or you get the idea. And so now this begins to make more sense. When Luke started writing his gospel, he gives us more detail than anyone else in the Bible about what exactly happened to Mary. And he does that by quoting Gabriel, and then eventually he quotes God the Father. And so do you remember whenever the Gabriel visited Mary and told her, you're going to have a son. He's going to be the Savior. And she responds and she says, how can this be? For I do not know a man. She was betrothed, or she was engaged to Joseph, but not married. Furthermore, she's saying, I've never been intimate with a man. She's a virgin, and she's telling, I don't understand how this can happen. And then the angel says to her, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. So Luke goes on, and when he gets to the baptism, he says, let me make sure y'all get this, and you don't think that Jesus is a descendant of Adam, which would mean he can't be your Savior. Jesus gets baptized, comes up out of the water, and in chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. And then the genealogy happens the next verse. I want us to be absolutely sure. Luke has shown us in every way possible that the Christmas seed is pure of Adam's image and likeness and is the only one who can purge us of our sin. He fulfills the royal lineage, which we're going to get to later in this series, and he fulfills the holiness as one who is not born in sin like you and I were, which grants him the right to be our Savior. Hallelujah. So now, if we come back to the lineage and follow up after Canaan, we see three more individuals that continue to help make sense of this. And now watch how this connects to the Christmas story. We've got Mahalalel, we've got Jared, and we've got Enoch. Next in order in Genesis chapter 5. And so now I'm going to have group number 2 come up, which is Rhett and Bella and Sophia. If you would, come on up here. And let's see what kind of meaning is behind their names that might continue to deepen our understanding of how the lineage all points to the Christmas story. So here we've got Mahalalel. And we've got Rhett here, and we're going to open it up. Mahalalel's name means what?
The blessed God.
Oh, say it one more time.
The blessed God.
The blessed God. Thank you, sir. That's a cool name. And so now we go to Jared. Bella, what does Jared's name mean?
Shall come down.
Oh, say it one more time.
Shall come down.
Shall come down. Oh, my goodness. That sounds exciting. And then let's wrap up with his son, which is Enoch. Sophia, what does Enoch's name mean?
Teaching.
Teaching. Thank you. Give them a round of applause if you would. So now let's put this together in the first 10 names of the Bible, starting with Adam. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. We're sinners. We're going to die. That's sad news. But the blessed God shall come down teaching. Now let's just stop for a moment. That's the Christmas story. From the beginning, when no one had any idea how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, he's protecting the seed, and he's giving names, and the meanings of the names are literally saying, You need a Savior. You're sad. You can't save yourself. You can't go up to heaven. So God Himself is going to come down. You're mortal and you're going to die. So the immortal God, who is blessed forever, is going to come down teaching. Now, isn't that fascinating? And it's really interesting when you look in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God. And his name means teaching. Now, isn't it true that if we follow the teachings of Jesus after he come down and then grew up, that we too will walk with God? And you remember what happened to Enoch. He walked with God for 300 years, and then Genesis 5 says, and he was not, for God took him. Now, when our time comes and we're not here anymore, what's going to happen to all those who've trusted in the gospel of Jesus? God's going to take us. We will go home. Enoch's story is actually more of a picture of the rapture. So let's just unfold this and let's get to the last little bit and let's look at Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. So if we could, let's let Isabel and Caleb and Cohen come on up here, if you don't mind, with all your bravery. Thanks, y'all. All right, so let's look at Methuselah. Isabel, Methuselah's name means...
His death shall bring.
Good job. Thank you. And now let's go to Lamech. Caleb, can you tell us what Lamech's name means?
The despairing.
And now let's go to Mr. Noah. Noah in the ark. Cohen, can you tell us what Noah's name means?
Comfort and rest.
Thanks, y'all. Can you give them a round of applause? So let's look at this all put together and just think about what happened. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. We've sinned. Because of sin, we're separated from God. We're going to die. That's sad news. But the blessed God shall come down, the Christmas story, and he's going to grow up teaching that his death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest for our souls. How important is that lineage? We don't base our theology and scripture from the meaning of someone's name, but it's really fun to just step back and to see that man could not have possibly been orchestrating this over a period of 1,656 years from Adam to Noah, trying to spell out this grand sentence from the meaning of their names, which happens to all be the seed line and genealogy of Jesus himself. But I think what's fun is it speaks into the greater picture that the scripture does tell us, and that is simply this. The Christmas story was planned in detail by God, and his purposes cannot be stopped. They were not stopped and they will not be stopped. What does that do for us? It helps us to worship him. It deepens our appreciation of the virgin birth, of John the Baptist paving the way, of Gabriel speaking, of the Father speaking, of everything that this Christmas season is meant to hold in our hearts, but then to be communicated through our lives to others. So I just want to close this morning and say this. I don't know if this season of life or even this year in 2023 has been challenging for you, or if it's been despairing and full of sorrows and sadness, especially having come out of the book of Job just recently. But can I encourage you that what God always wanted for his people and still wants us for today is to slow down, to find comfort in him, to find rest in him, to find salvation in him if you've never trusted the gospel and he just revealed that to you today. It's to not get so caught up in the world's view of the Christmas season with the go, 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 and then December 25th has got to be here, and hurry, jump in the car. We got to go there. Hurry, jump in the car. And by the end of the day, you just really failed to just worship him because it was all about being what somebody else wanted you to be. And God is just reminding us today, look, don't let your plans and purposes stop your worship of me, because I never let anyone else's plans and purposes stop what I was going to do for you through sending my son Jesus. Let's pray. Father, it is here that we just stop this morning, and we want to thank you for making the gospel so clear. Thank you that as the whole world was being judged for sin, that Noah and his family found comfort when you closed the door to that ark. And months later, it rested in the mountains of Ararat. Father, if someone is here today and they've never taken rest or refuge in Christ coming and dying on the cross for their sins and rising from the dead to give them both forgiveness and everlasting life, I pray that that time would be now, that you would draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit and let them come and let us pray with them. Father, if there's folks in the house today that just feel overwhelmed, I pray that the Christmas story would have spoken comfort and rest into their hearts, that you would let us come back to a place of adoration of who you are and not get let us get lost in all the demands and expectations that others put on us. And let us worship you throughout this Christmas season. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.